Welcome to the Midlife Chaos Podcast. I'm your host, Karen Michelle, a certified life and relationship coach, and I am so excited that you are here. The Midlife Chaos is for all of us facing midlife and wondering, how the heck did I get here? And where the flip am I going? Here we will talk about all the things that chaos brings. No topic is off the table, so join me on this adventure as we navigate the midlife chaos. Oh my goodness, we are on a roll with this friend series. This has been so fun. If you'd like to be on the podcast, if you have something you'd love to share, or there is a specific topic that you want to talk about, or maybe you just want to come on here and ramble with me, I'd love to have you. So reach out and let's get something set up. Today, I want to introduce you to my good friend, Ashley. She has been such a support to me in starting my business and just being a great all-around friend, and she even had me as a guest on her podcast this last fall. Ashley is a certified menstrual and hormone coach for women. Her experience with PMS, debilitating period pain, and perimenopause symptoms ultimately led her to learn more about how food and lifestyle affect hormone health and eventually certify with the Health Coach Institute. In 2001, Ashley created her signature course, Cycle Strategy 101, which has helped women worldwide ease uncomfortable symptoms of hormone imbalance and embrace their feminine energy. Ashley is passionate about teaching women about the power of the menstrual cycle and the cyclical superpowers that come with being a hormonal woman. All right, Ashley, I'm so glad you agreed to be on the podcast today. I'm so looking forward to our discussion. You and I have talked a few different times about perimenopause, menopause, that there's lack of information out there. We've talked about who do you go to get information? So I am so excited you're here to set everything straight and clear up any myths and just really educate us today on what we can expect going through perimenopause. So why don't you tell us a little bit about what you do and then let's go from there.
Okay. Thank you so much, Karen, first of all, for inviting me to be on the podcast. I'm really excited to be here as well and to talk to your audience about perimenopause and clear up any myths and confusion around the topic. So yeah, my name is Ashley Sorensen. I am a menstrual and hormone coach for women, and my focus is very much geared toward perimenopause. I myself am in perimenopause. I'm a 44-year-old perimenopausal woman. I absolutely love the work that I do. I love the women that I work with, and I've had the opportunity to engage with over the years as I've been doing this work. So yeah, I have a private clientele coaching practice, and then I also do online courses for women.
Fantastic. All right. So when we were kind of chatting about what we wanted to talk about today, I mean, there's so much. You had mentioned that the four phases of perimenopause. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about that.
Okay. Yeah. So maybe Karen, we should talk a little bit about, like, first of all, maybe kind of clear up the terminology.
Yes.
Around.
Oh, sorry. Yes. We did say, you know, how we should reword this, right?
Yeah. Like, it's because there, I think that that's one of the things that is most confusing about perimenopause and menopause is that people are just really familiar with the term menopause. Mm-hmm. Perimenopause is a new word for a lot of women. And they're like, what's the difference between premenopause and perimenopause and menopause? So maybe I'll just start with that perimenopause is really talking about the time around actual menopause.
Okay.
So menopause is really just one day. It's just the 1 year anniversary of your last menstrual period, your final menstrual period.
Are we celebrating this 1 year anniversary?
I think so. I think that it's definitely something to celebrate and throw a party for. I'm going to 100%. So menopause is really just one day. It is your 1 year anniversary of your final menstrual period. You've gone 365 days without a bleed. Mm-hmm. And you are of the appropriate age. Like if you're a 25-year-old woman who hasn't gone without a period for 1 year, that's something different, right? Like there's something else there. So Perimenopause is the time around actual menopause, and this can be 10 to 12 years. For some women, it can be 20 years.
Wow.
Because you can start experiencing, most women start experiencing symptoms, or let me kind of backtrack. Most women start experiencing a difference in their cycles when they're in their mid-30s.
Wow.
So they may not notice that things are changing because the changes are so subtle that it really reflects in very subtle symptoms.
Sure.
And so, but yeah, it's usually around like 35, 6, 7 that women start to experience like this change in their menstrual cycle that
Yeah.
may be getting shorter by a couple of days. And they may just be like, well, that's kind of weird. That's kind of funny, but they don't know that that's
Kind of
actually,
nice, right?
they're the last thing they're thinking about is menopause, right? Because I don't know about you, but for me, before I knew all this stuff, when I thought about menopause, I thought about like a woman well into her 50s, not somebody in her 30s.
Yeah.
And so it totally blindsided me.
Wow.
And I think it does a lot of women. So early menopause, when we talk about early menopause, this is when a woman reaches menopause before the age of 45.
Okay.
And then postmenopause is after you have had your 1 year anniversary of your final menstrual period. You are postmenopausal until from that point on until you die.
Okay.
Now there's also surgical menopause, which is when you have your both ovaries removed, and that is at any age. You could be a 25-year-old woman who has had a complete hysterectomy where, uterus and both ovaries were removed, and that will immediately put you into surgical menopause.
Okay.
So when we talk about perimenopause, we're talking about a woman that's in her mid-30s, 40s, 50s, and is experiencing these crazy symptoms of menopause that we thought that we weren't even going to come up against until our 50s.
Yeah. Wow.
So yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Well, so I mean, I answered quite a few questions I had.
Okay.
Covered a lot. Thank you. Well, and I think that's part of some of the myths is that it only lasts for a couple of years, that there's a certain age that it happens. Like how you mentioned, we kind of imagine like these 50-year-old women or older going. We kind of assume it's just the hot flashes, which I think is a big one that people really take notice, like, wait a minute, this is way different. I think also because we are so young in that, like, we aren't realizing that in the mid 30s as we're going through this, that all this changes in our bodies is kind of a weird phase of life anyways. If we have children, maybe they're a little bit younger or moving into a preteen, so our bodies aren't feeling so great. We're exhausted just because we're running kids around, you know what I mean? Or you're well into in a career and so you're focused on that. Or I mean, there's just other things taking our mind off of our physical bodies, and so we're not really tracking or aware. And then we think, oh, it's just typical aches and pains, or typical, cramping is worse or better, or you know what I mean? We kind of make excuses for that.
For sure. Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. The last thing we do is think, maybe I'm coming into menopause, we're not thinking
That's
that. We're
not
just
on our
thinking,
radar.
yeah. And I think, that's why I always say we've got to be tracking our symptoms. We've got to be tracking our cycles, but also our symptoms that we're experiencing, because they really are the best kind of me search. I call it me search
I love
that we
that.
can do, because it's giving us, our body is always sending us these messages, right? Via symptoms.
Yeah.
And so we need to be aware of those. We can track them, and a lot of times it'll lead us back. It kind of gives us this breadcrumb trail of like, hey, this is when it's happening at this time of your cycle. And then you can bring that information to your physician or your medical care provider, and they can be like, hey, you know what? This kind of points to low progesterone or whatever. So I think that, yeah, it's don't just dismiss. It's so easy for us to just dismiss, like, oh, I'm more tired than normal.
But
Fatigue
I
and
have a
lack
lot of
of,
stress in my life, or it's the holidays, or I mean, we always blow it off and I make excuses. There's always.
it's true. And yeah, like there's a lot of things that can cause us to feel fatigued and can infect our energy, but
Sure.
that is one of the main symptoms of perimenopause. And if you notice that, you know, fatigue and lack of energy, that should be a temporary thing if you're going through like a stressful situation, whether it's
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
physical or mental or emotional. That should be a temporary state. But when you're in perimenopause, man, that can be, you know, a decade long worth of fatigue and lack of energy. That's a long time for a woman to experience that ne that kind of negative symptom. And so you just really want to be aware and get curious. I think that that's one of the best things you can do is just be like, huh, that's interesting that I've been feeling like this for a
Oh.
while now. I wonder what that could be.
Yeah.
Just
Yeah.
asking that question, you know?
Okay. Now, how, because, well, I myself, I have an IUD, so I've not had a period. So I don't, how, and then there's other forms of birth control as well that might mess up a cycle or, so how do you suggest women like myself to track a cycle? Because, okay, I think this is also another myth, and correct me if I'm wrong. But we kind of figure if we're not bleeding, we're not really cycling, right? But I feel that our bodies still go through that cycle. Our emotions go through that cycle. We still, you know what I mean? So we should be tracking that. And I noticed for myself, what really got me thinking is I really got more depressed and short-tempered. It was always the same week every month. Like that was, I knew I was going to fight with my husband that week just because I was able to say, wait a minute, this isn't normal. And I could track back the last, you know, four major arguments were, oh yeah, that was about the same time every month. And so I was trying to think to that, like, I am cycling even though I'm not bleeding.
And like that is such a, so many women have IUDs and they, so it's kind of like out of sight, out of mind, right? Like I don't have a bleed, so I don't have a monthly reminder that I am a cyclical human being and I need to slow down or I have, you know, cyclical superpowers. And so you, this means that you really have to be that much more in tune with your body. And
Sure.
so, like you said, tracking your emotional symptoms as well as your physical symptoms will be very telling of where you are in your cycle. Now, when you have an IUD, if it's a hormonal IUD, now the mechanism of action of a hormonal IUD is not to stop, is not to prevent ovulation. So a lot of women will still ovulate when they have an IUD. They technically should still be. Some women will have kind of hit and miss ovulatory cycles. And so because you're ovulating, you're still going through the four phases of the menstrual cycle. You're still having like a time of your cycle where you would be bleeding, where you're going to feel more low energy. You're going to have time a time in your cycle where you're ovulating and you're going to feel more the higher energy and more of a sexual desire. And then you're going to still experience like that week before your bleed where you may feel more, like you said, short-tempered, annoyed, agitated, and things are just kind of getting on your nerves. So those kinds of things are the things that are really important to talk about because those are the little clues that are telling you where you are in your menstrual cycle. So, like you said, Karen, like I felt like I would, like I knew this week I was going to be in an argument with my husband. Like you just kind of feel like this pressure valve is just like it, something's about to burst, right? And then you one day you tell, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but then you one day you kind of wake up and you notice that that feeling is gone, and maybe it even feels like a pressure valve has been released.
Oh yeah. Definitely the mood lifts, right? Or
Like, okay, I can see the silver lining. Like things aren't as bad as I thought they were yesterday. And so that is,
the
yeah. So that is the day that you would count as day one of your cycle.
Okay.
You would count that as like the first day that you begin bleeding. So even though you're not actually bleeding, all signs and symptoms are pointing toward that is where you are in your cycle. So if that's something that is happening recurrently, like every month, which for you, it sounds like that is, like that's a good sign. That's your luteal phase. That's the week before your bleed. You would start bleeding any day now. And so count that as day one of your cycle when you feel that kind of pressure release.
And we could do a whole, well, and I mean, this is your job. You do have whole series around cycle things. So let's jump into those four phases of perimenopause.
So yeah, there are four phases of perimenopause, and Now with perimenopause, it's really interesting because it's not diagnosed through like lab work. You don't go to the doctor and say, I think I'm in perimenopause, or these are my symptoms, or whatever. And then they run some blood work and say, yep, sure enough, you're in perimenopause. That's not how it
That would be
works.
super convenient, though.
It would, right? Like, just draw my blood and say yes or no, right? Or tell me, like, in 2 years, you'll be there.
Yeah,
But
or
that's
2 years
not,
and then it'll be done.
yeah, but that's not the way it works. And so it actually requires that we start like really paying attention to our bodies. So the first phase is called very early perimenopause. And this is when your cycles are still regular, but they, like I said, they can start to get a little bit shorter. So they may start to, you may be like, instead of 28 days, you're now 25 days, and just very minor differences in the cycle. During this time of very early perimenopause, you do make more estrogen, or you have more estrogen, and you're making less progesterone. So progesterone is the hormone that peaks when we're in the luteal phase, after we ovulate, and estrogen is the one that rules the roost the first half of our cycle, in the follicular and ovulatory phases. And so because we have less progesterone, we experience heavier bleeds, because progesterone helps to, while estrogen builds up that uterine lining, progesterone helps to thin the uterine lining. And so when we don't have that, then we kind of get this what's called flooding when we have our bleed. And it, so we can really experience some heavy bleeds and heavy periods, or heavy, more painful periods. You
Okay.
may experience migraines because progesterone has a sedating effect and helps us sleep. You may start to wake up during the night, like around 2, 3, 4, and have trouble getting back to sleep. This phase of the cycle lasts about 2 to 5 years. So that is very early perimenopause right there. Okay.
And you said
Then
that
we,
was high, no, you said that was low progesterone.
yeah, lo we're making less progesterone. And so therefore we have more estrogen. So estrogen and progesterone are like yin and yang. They work together in tandem. And so when one is thrown off, then the other one is thrown off. And so yeah, because we're making less progesterone, we have more estrogen.
Okay.
And yeah, so
I just
that's,
wanted to clarify because I was like, I thought that's what you said, but okay.
yes.
All right.
Yeah.
So phase
Yeah.
one, and then what
Okay.
happened?
So then we go into phase two. So like I said, that first phase lasts about 2 to 5 years. Then we're in phase two, which is the early menopause transition. And this is when you start to notice that your cycles are becoming quite irregular. So they may vary in length by 7 or more days. So at this point, your progesterone is very low and your estrogen is just kind of like out in the wild, wild west. Like it's just fluctuating like all over the place. And so it's like up really high one day, down really low the next day. And because of these dramatic drops in estrogen, then some of us will start to experience these hot flashes
Okay.
or hot flushes and night sweats, which can be really annoying. So, and that's because of this crazy estrogen. And that phase lasts about 2 to 3 years. Okay. Then we move into phase three, which is the late menopause transition. And this is another reason why you really want to be tracking your cycles, no matter if you are bleeding or not, whether or not you have an IUD, because this cycle will, or this phase begins when you have your very first cycle that is 60 days or longer. So you've gone more than 2 months without a period. Okay. Then
Okay.
that you're in the late menopause transition, and that it's going to be about 4 years until you reach menopause. So
These
lots
numbers
of
are not working in my favor right now, just saying.
yeah,
The number of views.
yeah, yeah,
But it's good to
so
know. Yeah.
yeah, this is really good to know. And it's like you can kind of do a little bit of planning, right? Like, okay, like, thank you, body. Like, thanks for letting me know that, okay, I've gone 60 days without a bleed and looks like I'm in the late menopause transition. So in this phase, you're going to experience possibly more hot flashes, night sweats may worsen, and your periods might be really heavy during this time.
Because of the estrogen.
Then, yes,
Okay.
then we get into late perimenopause. This is phase four. And this is when you suspect that you've had your last bleed. So, earlier, so I had a period in March, but before that, I did not have a bleed. Like, I had a bleed in September. I didn't have a bleed until March. And I
Wow.
thought, wow,
Wow, you're well into this.
yes. I was like, okay, maybe I'm done. Maybe menopause is here earlier than I thought it was going to be. And I've had my last bleed. So I was kind of thinking maybe I am in late perimenopause, but then my bleed came. So and I actually ovulated last month. So I'm still in that late menopause transition. So that late perimenopause phase is when you suspect that you've had your last period and you're just kind of waiting to see because your periods are just very, very hit and miss, very irregular. Your
Okay.
estrogen is lower than ever. But you should be experiencing fewer migraines, fewer issues with your mood. And you may continue to have hot flashes, for, another year or more.
Wow.
So, I mean, there's things that you can do for that, but yeah, so those are the four phases of perimenopause. That's what it looks like
Okay.
and about how long it lasts.
That is so informative. Okay, now I have all these questions.
Yes, please.
Okay, so now of course this is me completely selfish thinking of what like my symptoms are and whatever. So like when you're talking hot flashes, night sweats, is that something that you can actually track? Like, oh, that is typically the week after my bleed, or you know what I mean? Like where in your cycle you could track that, or because your estrogen is so wild, wild west, it's just a hit and miss what's gonna happen.
I don't so I feel like I still track it. Like I track when I don't have hot flashes anymore, but I still would track them because I just like the feedback. I like to see if there's any patterns. You may or may not see that there are patterns. Somebody that is in like very, very early perimenopause is going to see that maybe the hot flashes are happening like right before their bleed comes. Like
Okay.
they're having the premenstrual. So it's kind of up to you. It's just kind of, for your own information if you want to know when they're showing up.
Sure. Okay. And then, so how fertile? I mean, I assume that we're less and less fertile as this progresses. But you could still be ovulating. You could, if progesterone this month is a little bit higher or lower, depending on that. Like, is that something that we should still be concerned as far as family planning?
So, I mean, lots and lots of women have gotten pregnant in perimenopause, right? And so, if you're like, I absolutely don't want any more children, then you do want to
You
make sure.
imagine.
Oh my gosh, right? And so, yeah, if you're like, I'm certain that it's done, and I think that if I found out I was pregnant, like I'd probably like have a mental breakdown and start crying, then you want to make sure that you are doing whatever you need to do to make sure that you don't get pregnant, whether that's hormonal birth control, condoms, whatever, fertility awareness method. So some way, because yeah, when you're in perimenopause, the older that you get, the less and less ovulatory cycles you're going to have. You're going to have what is called anovulatory, which means that you're having a bleed, but you're not ovulating. And so, those are going to be more frequent. Like ovulation is going to be hit and miss. The conversation between the brain and the ovaries changes.
Sure.
And so, but yeah, you still want to be careful about that. And it is recommended that you, even after you've had your final menstrual period, that you are still kind of, for the next year or so, being careful about that. That's what they recommend. So that's what
Now
I tell my clients.
thank you. You mentioned that there's not like lab work that you can have that tells you this, but you can have lab work that says, oh, your progesterone's low or so. So then that takes us to hormone replacement. And I've kind of heard both arguments there. Like our body naturally produces it. So if it's low, we need to continue helping it along. The other argument is no, your body is naturally no longer producing it, which means it doesn't need it. So for us to be giving it the hormone, we're almost faking our bodies. How do we see through the middle of that?
So yeah, I think that HRT has, man, it's become such a like hot and heavy topic. There's a lot of people that are like very against it. A lot of people that are very for it. I am somebody that is for it. I think that yes, like the decline of our hormones is normal and natural and part of like our design, but we've also been blessed with so many blessings, like so many gifts as far as like modern medicine and things that we can do to help our bodies. I mean, we need hormones in our body to protect like our brain, our breasts, our, you know, our heart. And so our mood, the most common age range for a woman to commit suicide is when she is in perimenopause, which is really sad.
Yeah.
Our brain changes, and we're also dealing with changes with our body and then aging parents, like it's just a lot. And so I am somebody that is for HRT. I take progesterone. I started taking progesterone quite a while ago. It helps me sleep. And, you know, when you sleep, you can function the next day. Like
that,
I have
which is a huge benefit, right?
Right.
Like, that's a medicine in and of itself is sleep.
Right. Yeah. Like we need restorative sleep. I mean, our body does so many healing processes while we're asleep. And when we're well rested, then we have the energy that we need to do the things that we want to do that are going to help keep us healthy. Right.
Yeah.
And so I take progesterone. I'm never going to say never. Like I assume that I will probably do like an estrogen patch, when I need to. I think that every woman needs just to be really educated on the topic of HRT, which is such a huge topic. We could have a whole other podcast about that. There's so much fear around like breast cancer and, estrogen but there is way more benefit. The benefits outweigh the risk when it comes to HRT.
Okay.
And nobody should be afraid of taking bioidentical progesterone. It's the same as what your body makes. And, for me, as I'm working with clients, I'm never like, you should do this or you have to do this. I leave that up to my client, but I absolutely make sure that she has all the education that she can have, all the knowledge, so
sure.
that she can make a decision that makes sense for her, that she doesn't go into it blindly.
Yeah. Now you mentioned bioidentical, because there is a difference between bioidentical hormones and synthetic hormones. So I think just doing your research on that, bioidentical, from what I understand, is most closely related or similar to what our body naturally produces. Is
yes,
that correct?
It's exactly what your body produces. So like the bioidentical form of progesterone is called Prometrium. And it's just in a small capsule that you would just take at night. And so, yeah, it's exactly the same chemical makeup as what your body makes. A lot of women are prescribed oral contraceptives when they're in perimenopause. They go to the doctor and they're like, oh, my flow is crazy. I'm breaking out. My menstrual cycles are all over the place. I have cramps, like what's going on? I feel like I'm going through puberty again. And the doctor is like, okay, well, here is birth control. And birth control is definitely not the answer to your perimenopause symptoms. That's for sure. Those are 100% synthetic hormones. And so, yeah, definitely, in my opinion, it's not the way to go.
Already. And then, so when we're talking about hormone replacement, we're not just talking during that perimenopause phase when we're noticing our hormones are out of whack. But after menopause, should we still continue some kind of hormone replacement, or is that the standard that people do? Or
yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So the standard is that you would continue for the rest of your life.
Okay.
But again, like it depends on a lot of things, and that kind of, depends on like, if you have a family history of breast cancer or any other kind of cancer, like that's something, a discussion you want to have with your doctor about that.
Mm-hmm.
And also like research you want to do on your own. And so I I just encourage women to get educated on like the Women's Health Initiative, ACOG, which is the American Congress of Obstetricians. Like they put out a lot of information on hormone replacement therapy, and I would just understand the benefits and the risks, and then make a decision for yourself, and one that you can feel confident in, one that makes sense for you. But I think a lot of suffering happens in perimenopause and menopause, postmenopause, because we think, oh, this is just a natural part of life's progression, and I have to suffer. And that's absolutely not true, because perimenopause, I think, is a really beautiful time. We really start to leave those homemaker, like is that the word I want to use? Homemaker, like you go from a like building a home, like caring for your kids and your husband, and like the homemaking stuff, and start coming into like, what is my purpose? And am I like living in alignment? And that is like a real gift of perimenopause. And I think that hormone replacement therapy is going to be what helps support you through that and help you discover your purpose, fulfill your purpose. I mean, who says that middle-aged women can't be fierce? Definitely not you
Women
and
are
me, Karen.
fabulous. You
Yep.
and I are ruling the world. Well,
That's
but
right.
I think
That's
that's
right.
one of those myths too, is like, you're kind of washed up by then. When really
Yep.
it's just a transition, and we have the whole next phase of our life, like with
Yep.
all this freedom, right? So
Yes. Yeah,
that's
like I think it's so exciting. Like for women, it's like, okay, my kids are gone and they've left the nest, and who am I? And I'm like, how fun is that
You
to
get to
discover
reunite.
who you are?
Yeah, I love that. I love it.
Yeah.
Okay, so now we've, talked about the hormones or and the replacement, the, talking with your doctor. And this is something that you and I have talked about quite a few times, is who is that doctor? Because we assume it's our gynecologist who's gonna tell us everything we need to know. And I don't feel like that is accurate. Then it's like, well, do you go to an endocrinologist because they deal with hormones and that part? Like, who is it that we need to be talking to? Because I don't feel that the gynecologist is saying, okay, this are the things you're going to be looking for over the next year before I see you again for your next Pap smear. You know
Yeah.
what I mean? And then with
Yeah.
that, do we keep seeing a gynecologist after menopause, or is it like, no, they're just the baby factory? And like, so do we still have Pap smears? Do we still like help me understand that next phase?
Okay. Yeah. So yes, like I personally, I don't have a gynecologist. I have a functional medicine doctor that I see for everything. She does my annual exams, which are like every other year that I have a Pap smear. She does my thyroid work, and she does my hormones. And so I have found a doctor that specializes in hormones. She's a functional medicine doctor. You can go to, like, you can just Google functional medicine doctor in my area, and it'll bring up the website where you can find a functional medicine doctor in your area. Because, yeah, you're right. Sometimes I'm like, after you have babies, like, I don't. Like an OBGYN is kind of becomes like, well, why?
Not what I'm going to
Like your general practitioner can do your Pap smear,
Yeah,
you
true.
know? And so like, and my opinion about gynecology, like they are so busy. I mean, they're just like moving patients in and out all day long out of that practice. And so for me, my preference is I want to go to a doctor that's going to sit down to me and explain to me exactly what's going on with my thyroid, exactly what's going on with my menstrual cycle and my hormone levels. Like I want somebody that's going to take that time. I want somebody that has spent lots and lots of time studying hormones. Like that is their
And
focus. And
they work together. You know what I
yes.
mean? All those systems work together. Those hormones work
Exactly.
together. And so if you're going to one doctor for this hormone and a different doctor for that hormone, like, yeah, why not
For
be on the
sure.
same page and have someone that can, who knows hormones?
Right, exactly. And so that is my preference. Now, if I have, obviously, like I'm not a medical practitioner. Like I don't give write prescriptions or do anything like that. I don't diagnose. I help my clients work with their medical team. I work with my client's medical team on like, okay, so, like maybe my client comes to me and is like, my doctor is recommending that I get on hormonal birth control to help with my perimenopause symptoms. Think about that. And then together we talk about, okay, well, this is the risks. These are
Sure.
the pros. These are the cons. This is what you need to know, because about 99% of the time, your doctor isn't going to take the time to do that. They're not going to give you the pros and cons of oral contraceptives or anything else.
Yeah.
And so, and what works for Sally isn't necessarily going to work for me or you. And so I think that it's, when I'm working with my clients, I just really want them to be educated so that when they go to the doctors, they feel empowered and they can be an advocate for their health and they can say, nope, this is what I want.
Yeah.
This is what I want, not this.
And that
So,
education is so important to arm yourself. So when you are, because I think too, it's like, oh, well, the doctor knows best.
yes,
Well,
100%.
not always.
For
So
sure.
if we come
For
in
sure.
educated, and that's not saying just do your quick WebMD research and, we're all dying of cancer if that's the case, right?
Yeah.
But, talking to someone like you who is knowledgeable in this area, talking to our, even just talking to our mothers, our sisters, our friends, like, hey, what are you experiencing? This is what I'm experiencing. Kind of, I don't know if those conversations are happening either.
Right.
And
Yeah.
so, yeah, just whatever we can do to kind of arm ourselves going into it so that we can be our own advocates for our bodies.
Absolutely. Like a lot of us don't even know the questions to ask, like, well, my doctor's like throwing out all these things that he thinks I should do, and I don't even know like what the alternative is. I don't even know the questions to ask. And so that's where I really love to empower my clients so that they go to the doctor's office just feeling like, I know what's going on. And it doesn't mean that you don't have to do all of this research. I recommend finding one or two reliable sources, whether they're on Instagram or whatever, and who are talking about perimenopause, like their doctors or health coaches or some kind of practitioner where they can give you a lot of really quality information, two really trusted sources. And instead of just having like a dozen different voices, have one or two that you're like, I trust this person and she's going to be my go-to for, yeah.
Yeah, I love that. I'm trying to think if there was any other questions. I did have a thought, but then it's left me now, so it must be my perimenopause brain.
I was just going to say that sounds like perimenopause.
Hey, let me see what phase I'm in.
Yeah.
Well, so this has been super helpful. If anything else, I hope that it has sparked a thought process or instigate some conversations, because this is such a major thing that women go through. And we were talking earlier about how blessed we are just to be able to Google. Like our mothers and grandmothers didn't have that, when they were going through this. So just to be able to find things at our fingertips, and so we should utilize it. Okay, before I let you go, I want to give you an opportunity to put your plug in for magnesium.
Oh, I do. I love magnesium, and everybody knows it. I'm not quiet about it. So I call magnesium the miracle mineral because it just does so much good for our bodies. Most of us are deficient in magnesium, because our soil is depleted of minerals. And when we are stressed, magnesium is the first thing that goes, like in our body. Our body uses magnesium to cope with stress. And so when you think of like the amount of stressors that we have throughout the
I was
day,
going to say, no wonder we're low.
right? Like we're just kind of moving, like this world that we live in, there's so much masculine energy and we're just moving from one stressful situation to the next. We got to be here. We got to do this. We got to do that. And so our magnesium tank is usually running low. And so we need to be constantly refilling that tank and replenishing. And yes, you can get that through food, but you can't get enough through
Okay.
food. And so that is why I recommend a magnesium glycinate supplement. I usually recommend 300 milligrams every day, for every single person, man or woman.
Wow. Now, I because it's kind of one of those like trendy buzz things on TikTok. I see it a lot and I'm like, okay, I heard about magnesium before TikTok made it famous, but I wanted the professional to share that with us. So it's not just a trend. It's like, no, we really do need magnesium in our diets.
Yes. Yeah,
That
you do. I, you know, I'm not somebody that's like, I'm not somebody that throws all the supplements out there and is like, you need to take all of these, you know? I'm very, very selective about what I recommend to people. And magnesium, 100% of the time, I'm like, magnesium, let's put you on magnesium. Let's get it going. And you're going to take 300 milligrams for the rest of your life. And it, like, it's just get used to it. Like, it's an easy thing to do. And it's one of the best things that you can do for your health. Like, if you just want to start today doing something, like, I'm all about a bit better every day. And
yes,
this is one of those little bits that you can do. Just start with a high quality supplement. I like pure encapsulations of magnesium glycinate. You'll take 300 milligrams every day and watch what it does for you. Watch what it does for you. It really can be a game changer.
Nice. Well, I thank you for your time. I appreciate all this wealth of knowledge that you were willing to share.
Thank you.
Lots to think about. I know we've talked about this, a lot of this many times, and it's still, I learn something new every time. And it's like, oh, I need to work on that, or I need to look into that. So I really respect you and appreciate you sharing that with us today. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Karen.
Oh, and hey, so tell us how to find you and like how we can get a hold of you and reach out to you.
Oh, sure. Yeah. So I am on Instagram. You can find me at Hey Ashley, A-S-H-L-E-E, Noel, N-O-E-L. And then I, on Instagram, you'll see that I have like courses that I offer and my private coaching. And I also have something called a hormone jumpstart session, which is just one session. You and I can sit down and talk about what's going on and come up with a game plan. So, but yeah, find me on Instagram and you can get all of my resources there.
Hey, Ashley Noel.
Yep.
All right. Well, thank you again. And I'll be looking for an Instagram.
Thanks, Karen.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to The Midlife Chaos. If you liked what you heard, please leave a review. I sure would appreciate that. And of course, don't forget to subscribe so you never miss a new episode. If you want to see what else we are up to, check out my Instagram at The Midlife Chaos or join our Facebook group, Midlife Chaos VIPs.